Well, we wanted to let you know that Thanksgiving was coming up, in case you didn't know. Actually, it seems like most of the stores have skipped Christmas, but we're still thinking in terms of giving God thanks. And I just want to remind you that the world is inundating us with all kinds of people that we should be giving thanks to, but we know that we should be giving thanks to God and not to man or to things. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 20, as we consider the fact that we're going to be having a service on Wednesday night and certainly giving praise and glory to the Lord, just want to make this note that we know that there are some of you that, actually probably most of you, I have family to go to during Christmas time, and Christmas Eve actually falls on a Wednesday night as well. So we've encouraged you to spend time with your family. Nevertheless, Connie and I were talking about this and felt like we should be here on Wednesday night. The reason that we want to be here is if there are those of you who don't have family or would just like to join in a service with us, we're just going to have a family-type service, and we want to invite you. So Connie and I are personally inviting you, and I think Sonny wants to tag along too. And what we want to do is we want to give some gifts to you. Now, Sonny doesn't know it yet, but Sonny's gift to you is going to be that you're going to write down your favorite Christmas carol, and he's going to make sure we sing it that night. So we're going to be, that's going to be his gift to you on that evening. And Connie and I would like to give a gift to you too, and that is that we would like to give you a verse, each family individual, whoever comes, a verse that the Lord has laid upon our heart for you, and also a prayer for you at that time. So it's a time in which we want to give gifts to you, and we trust that when you come, you're wanting to give gifts to those that you see. And these gifts are not as much in the realm of the tangible, but in the realm of the spiritual. And if you don't have a family that you're going to on that Christmas Eve, come on. We're going to have it at the same time that we normally have a Wednesday night service, and we're glad to have you. And we'll probably have different people sign up for a dish or something like that. So that's the way we're going to do it. And but I think it's just something that was a burden on our heart, and we felt like we should do that. This passage in Psalm chapter 20, you can hear the psalmist's desire for a blessing for his comrades, for his people. And it reads like this: May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. And may he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. His desire was that the Lord give them good things. And our desire for you is the same. And we look forward to spending some time with some of you on that Christmas Eve, and just want to let you know about that. With that aside, Josh, Lindsay, come on up. We're at a new stage in the discipleship with some of these young men.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that they know what it means to go out and evangelize.
Yes, sir.
And our goal is not as much to set up a program of evangelization,
no.
But our goal is to help them evangelize. Mm-hmm. And you have to go out and start doing it. It's one of those things that, you know, you can only teach in the class so long,
right.
And then before long, you just need to go out.
Yes, sir.
And we understand that most of us are not going to be door knockers. It's just not, besides the fact that it's a very difficult way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing the door knocking,
mm-hmm.
You have to distribute or actually display a kind of boldness,
mm-hmm.
and an unashamedness of the gospel.
Yes,
and this is what we're looking for, so that This will continue to go on even past these exploits, if I can put it that way. So tell me how the Lord's burdened your heart. Come on up here a little bit close to the mic so I can hear you.
Well, for me, when I got saved, I didn't even know what evangelism was. I didn't know. I know that's what you guys told me.
You were actually doing it, and you didn't know what it was.
You guys told me that you thought the gift was evangelism, and I didn't even know what the word was. I thought it was a pretty long word, and I had no idea what it was. And you said it's sharing the good news, and I said, well, isn't that what we're all supposed to do? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there was anything, a title for that. Mm-hmm. So that was just how the Lord, and that was, I partly believe based on Scripture too, he who's been forgiven much loves much. And all I knew is I was just thankful for what God did in my life. Mm-hmm. It was just a complete 180. Mm-hmm. I was heading down the wrong road. He put me on the path to salvation.
And just to clarify something, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that God gives gifted men to the church, and one of those gifted men is an evangelist. So it is a title of an office in the church, as well as it is something that we all should be doing. So God has called certain ones to lead us in this, but we should all be doing this wherever we live. So you were actually right in your thinking. Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, we should all be doing
it. I didn't know. But anyway, so I was studying for 2 Timothy, and I was in the book of Acts. And it was just by accident, you know, that I was just researching Asia because of the verse at the end of chapter 1. You are aware that all who are in Asia have turned away from me. Among these are Phygelus and Hermogenes. And so I'm trying to give my class a background on Asia. Mm-hmm. And how Paul was first stopped from going in there, but then he ended up going in there on the third missionary journey, and some of the things that transpired while he was there. Mm-hmm. Trying to give some background on the class. So I end up in Acts, and I'm going through it, and I've been through Acts before, and I've felt the Lord stir my heart in the past, but I just didn't know, you know, and it was a quiet voice. It wasn't necessarily that push. It was a uniqueness that you see. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, well, okay. So you study it and you see it. But this time, I just kept going through chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm going, I can't get out of Acts. And then I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me? And I felt like he was telling me it was time to go out, mm-hmm. which is completely opposite for me, because for the first 2 years, even being ordained, those times when you came to me and you said, look, I want to encourage you to, and I was never a door knocker, because I remember what it was
That's
like.
That's hard to believe.
Being on the other side of that door, I remember what it was like.
Isn't that hard to believe?
I was not a door knocker. I made fun of Christian people growing up. And so I knew those times there was an uneasiness for me. And even in different ways that you tried to encourage me, there was an uneasiness. But I was willing to obey. Because you were my pastor, you were my teacher, and I wanted to honor you and the authority that God gave you over me to teach me, and I knew that, and so I said, okay, well, I'm gonna do what I can, and I think in the years past, I felt like I needed to do something, but I think I might have tried to do it in my own strength, and so I think I probably rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and I felt like, okay, well, if I'm gonna do this, then all the church needs to be doing it too, and I felt like I had to push that. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first year I pushed way too hard, and the second year I said, well, I better back off. And then I said, I'm just going to come back to just wanting to love the Lord and serve him. And Lord, just, I don't know how you're going to work it all out, but you're going to work it out. Mm-hmm. I just want to serve you, and I want to serve these people. And so I remember going through Acts.
Mm-hmm. Well, the discipleship really is a springboard.
Right.
To the evangelism, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because it really is the disciples that should be going out.
Right.
And so... Actually, throughout the years, and many of you have been a part of it, different men have gone out in different ways. I remember Carl Simon wanted a ministry of giving water on the beach. So we put a track on bottled water, and many of us would go out with him and take the water. And had one gentleman that wanted to actually minister to the people at the Riverwalk. So we would go down and do the Riverwalk thing. And Craig, you've gone through the neighborhood with me, putting those door knockers on, so I appreciate that. So
it was really just the book of Acts.
And the Lord
started to stir my heart, And I said, okay. So I just prayed about it for a couple of days, and then I said, okay, well, I need to mention something to Gary and have him be praying about it and see his direction. And I need to talk to my wife. And so I mentioned to you last Tuesday night, I said, Gary, I don't really completely can't tell you everything just yet, but I just know I felt like the Lord stirring my heart. And you said he sent him out by twos. I said, because I wanted to do it biblical principle. So I remember coming back before the Lord. I said, Lord, if this is you, you're gonna, it's gonna be your spirit, and I don't want it to be me, and I want it to be strictly scripture. It has to be scripture. It's not me trying to fabricate this. And so we came back to biblical principle. He sent them out in twos. Those are disciples. I saw that there was a time of them going to the upper room and then praying and the Holy Spirit coming. And also different times in Acts where the Holy Spirit set apart men for this work. And so I said, so I went to the young guys in discipleship, which go back to Matthew 10. It was the disciples he sent out. So I went to the young guys in discipleship, and I said, guys, this is what I feel the Lord is stirring in my heart. I want you to now begin to pray about this. And so we begin to talk about it. I said, push practicality out of the window. I said, because if you think practical and practicality, and are we going to be received?
Well, you talk yourself out of it.
You suck the spirit out. He's gone at that point, because you're no longer operating in faith. He's out of there. Right. So at that point, they said, okay. They went back into prayer for that whole week. And different ones in different ways felt led in different ways on how the Lord was working in their heart. Mm-hmm. But they all had a confirmation from the Lord as far as just a confidence in the Spirit. Because where the Spirit is, there's freedom. 2 Corinthians 3.
Right.
And so we came back to that, and I said, okay. I said, well, now let's pull together and let's do biblical principle. They went out on foot in Jerusalem. And Acts 1, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts. So, for instance, we're going to go out by twos, but my Jerusalem's going to be my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But we're all going to go. The following Saturday, which we're going to try to go out after men's prayer, most likely. We're all going to solidify this today. The following Saturday, we would go to James's Jerusalem, mm-hmm. which would be his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Andrew and Justin's, as we've already talked about, you can't solicit in their apartments. Mm-hmm. So now we realize, as Acts says, the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak a word in Asia at that time. So
you can't tie a Bible verse on a rock and throw it through a window or something?
No. And we go back to biblical principle again, Romans 13,
right.
that God is in control of all authority, ordains all authority. So right. so we realize that. So we go, okay, well then at that point, we just begin to seek the Lord and how he's going to open that door. But we want it to be strictly gospel. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to be man's fabrication of anything to try to bring people in. We're going to, the gospel is worthy enough.
Right.
That is the reward.
Who is worthy.
That's right. And so I don't have to try to fabricate something.
Right.
The Lord knows, and he's the one guiding. So we know that he's going to bring into our past those he wants us to share with. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, we go back to James' Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, until it may be a different missionary journey that he brings us through the upper country into their neighborhoods. And so we don't know exactly how that's going to happen yet, but we do know that our desire is to seek the Lord and to listen to his spirit and follow his word. And he says, go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That's our desire, is to follow what he said. And we know it's not about productivity. It's about obeying God.
Yeah, and the Lord gives burdens too. You know, with Sonny for years.
Yes.
He's had a burden for the military and
right.
has ministered out there a number of times. So, you know, the Lord just gives specific burdens
right.
to these men as well.
And the great thing about it was, in years past, the one thing the Lord really solidified in my heart today, or even when he did it, was just the fact that it was that when I come in front of the body, I know the ones he set apart to go out. He didn't set apart everybody in Acts to go out. Now, they ministered in their communities where they were. But ultimately, that body was praying for those men. It was praying for that gospel. So there's one thing, if I could just ask of the body, be praying for us. Be praying that that gospel will go out of this church and out of our mouths, and that people receive salvation in Jesus Christ. Just be praying for us. Pray for our safety. Pray for our families. Pray for these things as the Lord is desiring to do this work.
And that the Lord would grow these men to evangelize wherever you go.
Right.
And that's what we're hoping. You know, when you go into these circumstances,
yes.
it creates a boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And once that boldness is created, then you're more free to minister wherever you are.
Yes.
And of course, that's what we're wanting to do. Justin, why don't you come up here? And James and Andrew, come on up.
And then the other thing.
Justin's pretty thrilled about doing this.
If there was,
he was quoting Thomas, wasn't he?
Yes. But if there was,
might as well just go and die.
Your specific. If there was people in your neighborhoods that you wanted us to visit, you just pass it right along. If your neighborhood's a neighborhood, you say, "Look, I want y'all coming over here." Then once we finish Jerusalem, we're coming to Judea, and our desire is to begin to do that. And as the Lord will, that Lord willing, we would cover Jackson. We don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know exactly what he's going to do. But I know that's a burden and a heart's desire. But go ahead.
Let's pray for these. Father, we give you thanks that there's a desire here to follow you. This is not about a program. You know our hearts. We just want to tell other people about you. And you've given us a venue, an opportunity to do this. You've stirred our hearts. You stirred these hearts to go out. Lord, we're behind them. We're praying for them. We're rooting for them. And we can hardly wait to hear how you have blessed their hearts as they have obeyed you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if I could just say one thing. I don't want to take too long, but what we're thinking about doing at this point, just to keep you guys abreast of where we're at, is wanting to get a map of the city of Jacksonville, put it up in my room, and as different ones begin to receive the Lord, we just want to put that white thumbtack up there, because it's like the wordless book. Put that white thumbtack up there, and we begin to write off to the side the different ones that have received the Lord, and as the church, how we can begin to pray for them. And as we realize, he places in each body as he desires. So this is going to begin to give us just a different aspect on the work that Christ is trying, the work he wants to do with us.
I think it's also important that we convey that we're not as much trying to fill the pews. Because
no way.
In some cases, you may go in certain places of town where we may actually suggest that they go to a church closer to them.
Right. And actually, so that's going to give us an opportunity to find the churches that are doctrinally sound, go to that church, talk to that pastor, all four of us, and let him know we're in your neighborhood and we're sending them to you. And so now it gives us an opportunity to let these other churches know this is what we're out here doing. And how the Lord would stir in that church's heart, I don't know. But I know we got to obey what he's called us to do. So with that being said, even the mindset of when the Lord stirred my heart was not to fill these pews. Mm-hmm. It was to obey him. Mm-hmm. And that was a freedom. Mm-hmm. And as the Lord desires, he's going to put people in the churches he desires.
Right.
But we just got to obey him.
Right.
And I think that was one of the greatest freedoms, realizing it's not my job. I don't have that power. Right. I don't have that authority. He does.
Right.
What he's called me to do is listen, obey, believe, and follow.
Right, and if you do bring him in on your power, then who are they following?
Right. And so that was the great freedom, is just to be able to say, we want to plug them in here, and to see how God now really begins to stir the city of Jacksonville through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and through his word.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thanks.